not as K-State. Not only the Oregon Ducks and former K-State head coach Dana Holman, but also Marcus Foster and the Creighton Blue Jays. And our friend Kellis Robinette, actually, this audio is courtesy of him and the Wichita Eagle. He had a chance, as well as many of the K-State reporters, to chat a little bit with Marcus Foster earlier today. And I know I saw Ken Corbett tweeting a quote from Dana Altman that we'll get to in a moment as well. But as far as Marcus Foster is concerned, this was him being asked just about the situation with Bruce Weber and the fact that Bruce did basically tell him he needed to go. Here out of Manhattan, Marcus Foster holds no ill will at all.
I have no problem with him. You know, he has a job to do, and also I had a job to do, and I wasn't doing my job. So the best thing for him to do was, you know, to get rid of the situation we had over there. So it's no hard feelings. You know, I think everything worked out for the best. I wouldn't be the player I am right now if I didn't have to go through the adversity I had to face by transferring and sitting out of here.
Very mature sounding response there from Marcus Foster. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I think people are still really wrapped up in and concerned, you know, now after all that's happened and the time that's transpired, really hold a ton of ill will towards Marcus Foster. But you've heard me say it before, and I think you probably know where I'm going with this. I just felt that on the way out the door, he was vilified much more than he should have been about everything. Yes, he made mistakes. Yes, in essence, I mean, he was the catalyst of that season becoming such a roller coaster ride and not performing up to the expectations. But, you know, to say that he was this horrible individual, he's a good kid. I mean, I'm using the word kid again, and I'm only 27. He is a good guy. He's a good guy, and just spending 2 years around him every now and then, you know, talking to him after games, I probably talked to him like once a week there for a while because he was the guy that season, so we were talking to him a bunch in the media. You can get a sense for when players are better guys and when you can tell there may be something up there as far as what their personality is and who they are. Marcus Foster was a very genuine, good guy when he came in, who got swept up a little bit, I think, by the success and acted immaturely. But I always just felt like people start, it's like the game of telephone thing where one person says something about him and he did this and spreads that rumor, and then somebody else comes up with something else, and by the time it gets down 5-6 spots down the line, Marcus Foster is the worst human being to ever stroll through the halls here of the basketball training facility in Bramlage Coliseum, and was just a complete cancer. And, you know, look, he fell into a lot of the same pitfalls that tons of people his age do, and I would have a hard time staying away from some of those pitfalls of letting the success get to me if I were in his position and were actually good enough to play college basketball. So I just wanted to put that out there, and I think this, when you hear this sort of stuff from him and this kind of a tone and attitude from him, it just reaffirms what I always thought. He's a good guy. Didn't work out here at K-State. It sucks, but he is not this bad, evil human being that a lot of people make him out to be.
You go back to the two camps that K-State fans have been in for a while now, either pro-Bruce Weber or anti-Bruce Weber, and you just talked about the pro-Bruce Weber camp. I think the people that have supported Weber have been in that camp of vilifying Marcus Foster and saying that he absolutely needed to go. But I'll say this on the other side as well. I think people that have been against Bruce Weber have also probably unfairly looked at what Marcus Foster has done this season and said, you know, way to go, buddy, letting this guy get away. I don't think that Marcus Foster would have become the player that he is today had he not gone through some of those lows with K-State. I think that he needed to experience that. He needed to humble himself a little bit, figure his life out a little bit, and that's why he's become this player. He wouldn't have been, in my opinion, and I know that there's no way to prove this, but he wouldn't have been averaging 18 points a game for K-State if he were still here.
Well, just like a lot of things, I think it falls somewhere in the gray area, because there are two camps there that, you know, do everything that you can to keep him. How do you let him walk? How does all that happen? And then the total opposite, yeah, it was all his fault. He's horrible. Look, the problem with that argument is if he was this horrible guy, you brought him in. You offered him a scholarship. You let him into your team. So ultimately, that falls on the coaching staff at a certain level, because they let him come in. Now, if you want to just say, I mean, he was in here and just totally changed and became this evil person, I mean, you're still the ones there supposed to be mentoring him and helping this kind of stuff out. I mean, this happens with guys. They blow up. They get successful. I'm not saying that they could have prevented this, but ultimately it falls on your responsibility, and sometimes it just sucks the way that it goes. That's basically how I view it. I think they probably could have handled things differently, and I'm sure there are a lot of things they would have done differently with Marcus Foster if they had to do over again. And there were some mistakes made on their part. There were a lot of mistakes made on Marcus Foster's part. And there is blame to go around on both sides of the issue. But now everybody's moved on. I just live in the gray area as far as that whole thing is concerned.
And just so people understand, there are a lot of times that players that have transferred will say that they have no ill will toward their former coach, and that's not true. And there are coaches that will say they have no ill will toward their ex-player, and that's really not true. I totally believe both of these guys, when both of them have been asked about it, that they really do want nothing but the best for the other party in this case.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that sentiment for sure. I don't know how much we care about what Dana Altman has to say. It's been so long since he's been here. I mean, I was born in 1989, so my familiarity with Dana Altman and what the climate was like at that time when he left K-State is a little bit off. But I will say, you just look at how long he was at Creighton after he left K-State here, just based on me looking at what facts I can read on a sheet of paper and not actually having been around there. I mean, it was a long time between K-State and Oregon for him to be as successful as he is now as a head coach. He had a well below 500 conference record in the Big 8 at K-State. He spent 1994 to 2010 at Creighton. I mean, it was a while before he really got up and rolling. He was not the coach of the year in his conference with Creighton until year 7. So it took him a while to really get rolling at Creighton. I guess my point there is I almost feel like there are some parallels between Marcus Foster and Dana Altman in that it just didn't work out. It wasn't going to work out at K-State. He was the guy following, obviously, Lon Kruger at K-State, was not as successful. Needed to go cut his teeth down at a lower level at Creighton, learned how to become a really good coach there, got that program up and humming, and now he's at the highest level with Oregon. He's turned into a great coach. That's just one where I wouldn't look at it and say K-State made huge mistakes. The mistake K-State made was getting the guy after him wrong.
Right.
That was Tom Asbury, and then you go to Jim Woldridge, and that's what really bottomed the program out for a while. I think there are really a lot of ties between the two situations. You can look at them and say, yeah, there may have been some mistakes to an extent on both sides, but the way things have worked out, it's been okay for both sides of this coin.
I agree, and my bracket doesn't pick it, but it would be pretty fun to see an Oregon-Creighton second round.
What about it? Are they on the opposite side of the bracket?
Yeah, it's Oregon-Iona, and then that's in the Midwest. So we're talking about a Final Four matchup between K-State.
I was just
going
to say, you going to scout them out then for the Final Four? After the regional final against Butler, the Final Four against Oregon.
Yeah, that's
right. National championship game against Frank Martin.
Yeah.
National championship game against Frank. That's what'll happen.
Okay.
Did you notice, Mitch, how I wrote Oklahoma State and South Carolina on my brackets when I picked them to win?
Yes.
I wrote Frank and Brad instead of, the actual team names. You can't be serious. I'll finish the show next.